And so many times, when I've gotten to a situation like that, I've said, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? You know, again, you know, like I've said, to me, this time is important. Every message needs to count. So, like so many times the Lord has done before, I'm praying, Lord, what would you have me to preach? And he goes, go to where you've been having your devotions. Folks, I can't count how many times he has said, just go to where you're having your devotions. So guess what? I went. Guess what? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I was so thrilled. It's God's war. All of this, it's God's war. We're going to see what the Bible has to say through a king of Israel, excuse me, a king of Judah, when it comes to that which we are dealing with. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide now. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us. Lord, speak and encourage us as you do all the time when we open up your word, when we pray, when we recognize who you are. Thank you for these dear folks. Thank you for those that are watching online and those that will be hearing the message down the road. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged, comforted, and emboldened because of who our God is and what he does. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Got to tell you one more thing, and it leads up into this. This last Thursday, and please be in prayer on this. This last Thursday, there were several of us pastors that met. Remember, we've been praying about the revival meeting. What we did, we were here in the fellowship hall, and Tim had us pray around. We just kept praying. We would pray and thank the Lord for this. We'd praise him and thank him and so forth. And at the very end, when Tim was praying, at the very end, he said, Lord, give us your burden. And I mean, the Lord just hit me with that. Give me your burden. Are we doing okay, Wayne? We're doing okay? All right. And I just, that changed my perspective in some aspects when I'm praying. In other words, it's like, Lord, what is it that you want? I'm always, you know, Lord, I pray that you bless, you know, family, be with the church folks. And, you know, there's specific things you pray on a specific day, at least I do. But when I was praying this morning, I was out in the front of the house and sitting there at on our patio. I was like, Lord, what are you burdened for today? Just want to see, you know, there are people here that need to be encouraged. How many of you need to be encouraged? Well, I hope this does this. All right, shut up, preacher. Let's just get right in it. This is where you're going to get encouraged. Okay. That should wake everybody up that was watching online, even some of us. I want to remind you of something. Here we are in the Old Testament. But remember what Paul told the church at Corinth. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, now all these things happened unto them, Old Testament saints, for an ensample, literally a thing shown, an impression, and they are written for our admonition. So what, for instance, these went through here, it's for us, as we'll see, especially when we get to the end, is for us to learn. So here's a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. Not a name I would exactly name one of my kids or grandkids. I wouldn't want to take it, but he was a good king for the most part. So here he is. He acted sometimes a little bit unwisely. But starting in chapter 20, the king has a problem. Look at verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. He had done something a little unwise. The Lord corrected him. He humbled himself. He got right. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm reading in chapter 19. Forgive me. We need to go to chapter 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." So he has a problem. There is a large army coming against him and his people there in Judah. Listen, you can wake up one morning and realize you've got a problem and it has you in its sights. It's either a person, it's a project, it's something. There's a situation that's taking place. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. Every one of us have had this happen. There's something or someone that winds up coming up against us, and it feels overwhelming. You ever been there? I mean, several times. Several times. So the king has a problem. Now, there is a lesson to learn here. I love the book of James, and I'm sure some of you do as well. Remember what James said right from the get-go. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing." So let's recognize this. There's something that God desires to do. Here comes a problem. Here comes a challenge. Here comes a person. Here comes maybe a group of people. With the king, it was a whole army. The king's got a problem. This is the first thing that the king did. The king established his purpose. Look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared, watch this, and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, there are times we might think it wise to seek something or someone else. You know, we're going to seek the help of a friend. We might call a lawyer. We might call a company, you know, whatever. We might call someone that we can fret to, or we can be angry with, you know, or whatever. I just thought right away, my soul, he established something in himself. He's telling God what's going on. Now remember, these things are written for our admonition. We are to learn here. Look at verse 4, the end of verse 3, excuse me. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. The king did it. Now Israel's doing it, or Judah. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So he sat himself down, and he gets to thinking this. All right, I'm the king of Judah. I have a responsibility here. Knowing what I know from the history of our people, and the teaching of our God, I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this, but instead I'm going to do this. Now that's taking yourself in hand. That's bringing, like Paul told the church at Corinth, bringing every thought into submission to Jesus Christ. So this is what he does. He's going to purpose. I'm king. Now, I don't know what your place is. At the very least, hopefully and prayerfully, each one of us is in Christ. But you have a particular place in your life. There are people that you work with, I'll never meet. There are people that you live with. There are people that you're neighbor to. when a challenge comes, you say, okay, this is where I'm at. This is who I am in this life. Jehoshaphat said, in this life, I am king. I'm going to set myself to seek the Lord thusly. The people's past. Look at verse 5. Now, this is what he did. Watch this, please. This, I was so encouraged in this. All right, he set himself down. The people did as well. They came to the Lord, and what did they do? They reminded God of something. Look at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God, of who? Huh? Of our fathers. Lord, you have a reputation. Just like, I think it was, it was Nehemiah. I was thinking it was, at first I was thinking Ezra. No, Nehemiah, when he was out with the people, they had gotten the wall done. And Nehemiah was telling the Lord in prayer in front of everybody, you did this, 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 and this. And then he says, so didst thou get thee a name, even as it is this day. And I remember, I wrote, and Brother Granby, you would enjoy this. I wrote down next to that verse, known by performance. Now, if you say Mustang, GT, or Shelby, what do you think of?
Streetcar.
Huh? Tromfouche. If I said Pinto, now some of you don't even know what a Pinto is. Believe me, you don't want to. You know, I think it's so funny. I can tell that I've gotten older for this reason. I get in my truck and it's got a Hemi. I get in the CRV, it's got a little motor. And look, I get 500 miles to the gallon. You know, it's just, oh, great, excellent. God loves it when we remind him of what he's done in the past. Look at verse 6. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Hey, Lord, here we are. It's the year 2020. And everything seems to be crashing and burning all around us. Now, it's not as bad as it could be. We don't know what's going to happen. But again, this is one of those things where our faith is challenged, but then encouraged. Lord, aren't you the one? You know, you did thus and so. Can't you do everything? Isn't that you? Now, who would you rather talk to, the President of the United States or God who sits on the throne? Who would you rather come before and seek power, the governor or the King of Kings? See, this is what we've got to be thinking, because it's so easy to slide into fleshly thought. Folks, we've all been there. We've probably been there this last week. I have. Let's keep going. Look at verse 7. Art not thou our God? Isn't it great to recognize this? He's the God of heaven. He's the God of the universe. But you know something? He's my God. Can I ask you? Is he your God? I said, is he your God? See, we're outside. We don't have walls for it to echo on. You know, y'all got to talk up a little bit more. Maybe we'll pass around a microphone out there. Yes. Yes. Art not thou our God? Let's keep going. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel? Lord, when we came in here, didn't you do this and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend? Remember when he was called the friend of God? Hey, listen, Lord, remember who you gave this to? Remember Abraham? You promised it to him. Now here we are. We've got an enemy coming. Lord, remember when you established us here? Aren't you our God as well? You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have worked through this king and this king and this king. Lord, aren't you our God? Now, is he our God? You go back in history. You go back in biblical history. You see what God has done. Question, did God run out of go juice? Has God run out of miracles?
No.
Did the mercy tank all of a sudden just drain? How about the grace? No. Interesting. But you see, we've got to recognize. We've got to recognize that. We've got to understand. Listen, the Lord said in the book of John, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, he was lifted up at the cross. We are to lift him up. He will draw all to him. God's past acts and promises were not given for entertainment. The God of heaven has a desire, and it ought to be ours. Come to his throne, lift him up. It's good to see that, hear that music. You know what? You see, that's the problem with life. It doesn't have any background music. I get to preach, and somebody else is singing, backing it up. I love it. This is great. So now, check it out. Check it out. Now, Jehoshaphat reminds him of the promise, the Lord's promise. Look at verse 8. Speaking of, he's continuing, and they dwelt therein and have built thee. Hey, guess what, God? They built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us. Now, why did he mention that? Because evil was coming upon them. As the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before thee, before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. Lord, you gave us this land. Now stop and consider. What did God do for us? He adopted us as salvation. He saved us. He redeemed us. He forgave us our sins. He did all of that. Lord, are we not your children? Lord, what do you allow to take place with your children? Now, granted, we just got through on Wednesday night with Hebrews 11. There were those that suffered, but God sustained them in the suffering. He helped them. Look at verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out from the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Lord, these are people, when we came through, we treated them right. We did them right. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Now, there are people that we have treated nicely, and they don't like us. There are people that maybe sometime in the flesh we got after them, and we shouldn't. But there are others, you know, we're not going to be threatening to them. They don't like it. You know, now these people there up in Portland, now they're tired. You know, they've been burning buildings and burning patrol cars. Now they've decided they want to burn Bibles. And so they're doing that. You know, it's so sad to see this. I was meeting with somebody yesterday. We're talking about how my soul, it's almost demonic. It really is the things that drive these folks. Behold, he says in verse 11, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, Lord, which thou hast given us to inherit. Now, here we've got, we can say with the writer in this, remember Hebrews 13? Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So here we are in what we have. Now, being here on this property doesn't mean that he's going to keep us on this property forever. You know, it's kind of fun to be under the tree, but we have to remember this. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ. They met under trees like this, way out in the sticks, because that's where they could go to worship God and not be arrested. Do you think that it could ever get that bad in America?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget my dad meeting a pastor friend of his when he was pastoring in Ohio. He flew, this pastor went to Romania, and he said, I had something happen when I came through the airport and went through customs. He says, I had something happen I've never had happen before. They asked me, do you have this? Do you have that? And then they said, do you have any Bibles? He said, I have two English Bibles. They watched him the whole time that they were there. They had to be very careful in meeting God's people, meeting the pastors there. This one particular pastor said to my dad's pastor friend, he said, you say you have a constitution, and that's going to keep your freedom. He said, we have a constitution as well. It guarantees freedom of religion. We do not have freedom of religion. It could get there. But you know what? We can understand this. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, hey, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, they did something, the king and the people did something, not only to remind themselves, but to remind the Lord, and to help him realize that they realize they need him. Look at verse 12. They came and they reminded themselves and God of their lack of power. Look at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Now, let me stop right there. We can think about what we, you know, well, this ought to do work, and we ought to do this, and we ought to do that. Let's get everybody to vote, and they should, and vote rightly. Let's get everybody to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ, and we should. But that doesn't mean that things are going to change. That does not mean that. They said, neither know we what to do. We're not sure exactly how to handle this. Now, with them, they had an army coming at them. With us, we have young people that have been taught to hate their country. They're going to be voting one day. And as it looks right now, in less than a generation, I would say in less than 10 years, this nation would be socialist. Very heavily into socialism, will be another Venezuela, which is what some people want. They want America destroyed because we stand in the way. Satan has his eyes on it. We don't want that. And so we come to God and we say, Lord, we're not sure what to do. But they said this, and please, can we learn, if we don't learn anything else from this, can we catch this? But our eyes are upon thee. We're not just watching Fox News. We're not just on the internet. We're not listening to a blog here or a vlog there. Lord, our eyes are on you. You know, that's a great place for our eyes to be. I'm studying this. I'm reading this. I'm like, oh my soul, this is great. Because I get my eyes someplace else. How many of you respond And not the greatest of ways when you wind up reading some things online or hearing certain people talk. I don't know what to do. I hear politicians, and it's like, Lord, we got a challenge. They don't deserve to be there, but you know what? I don't deserve to be in you, Lord. You know something? Lord, our eyes are on you. Now, by the way, can we keep our eyes on the Lord? Can we do that? Yes, we can. Absolutely. Now, what takes place? I like this. Watch this. There winds up being a man. Don't know him as far as any other situation in Israel. But God chooses to speak through someone. I'm so glad when there's a challenge, God uses somebody that maybe you've never heard of before. But they say, you know what? I've been studying this. I've been praying over this. I've been meditating on things. And I believe this is what God would have us do. All of a sudden, here comes the Lord's protection. Look at verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. I love this. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
Did you catch that? The battle is not yours, but God's. Listen, we can do what we can do. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be giving the gospel. We ought to be praying for people. We ought to be encouraging the brethren. But when it comes to what takes place, when it comes to how the victory comes, when it comes to overcoming, the battle is not ours. It's whose?
God.
It's God. You consider this. We don't want to get out of a bad situation. We don't want to see, you know, somebody win just so we can get a reprieve on our own freedom. We want to see God win. Now, you know what? In order for God to be glorified, the three Hebrew children had to be thrown in the fiery furnace. In order for God to be glorified, Christ had to die on the cross and then rise from the grave. In order to be glorified, Stephen had to be stoned, but God was glorified. Hey, the battle is not ours. It's yours, God. Now consider this. How does that mean that we pray? And then I suddenly realized, yeah, what Tim was talking about. Lord, this is your burden. Lord, how do you want me to respond to your burden? What is your burden for today? It's still God's will. If there's something to be done, he'll tell us. He knows who the wicked are. The God of heaven knows who the governor of California is. He knows who George Soros is. And he knows who we are. And you know something? It's God's will. It's God's will. Look at verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come upon by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeroboam. Listen, when God commands, we obey. even if it means going to a place called Ziz. Now, by the way, sometimes we could look at the Bible and go, where did they get these names? Ziz? Well, you know, just remember this. In California, we have a city called Oxnard. Need I say more? Look at verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. There are times he gives us something to do. But how many times in the Bible has he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Just stop. Be still and know that I am God. He doesn't always say that. But our God comes along, and even if it doesn't make sense, in fact, he asks them to do something that when it comes to battling, you don't do this. And I love this. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Okay, God. So here's the people's preparation. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I got to thinking about that, wrote this down. Nothing prepares us to stand before our enemies like kneeling before our God. Nothing prepares us to stand before enemies like kneeling before our God. Listen, suppose we came here the Sunday after the election this November, and everything, and I mean everything, went against what we wanted. You know what we ought to do that Sunday? We ought to come and we ought to worship God.
Right, amen.
Your will has been done, Lord. Use it. Use it. Now, again, to me, this is preparation for the people of God, and I'm looking at the people of Faith Baptist. This is preparation to be used of God. This is our time for such a time as this. It is. Now, too often, my flesh wants to be like King Saul. There was a time that Samuel was late in getting back with Saul, King Saul. And there was a sacrifice that needed to take place. And King Saul said, well, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and do this. And he did that which was not right, not biblical, not according to the commands of God, and he did the sacrifice, and as soon as he did that, Samuel showed up. He said, what are you doing? Well, you know, you weren't here, and the people were getting scattered, and this and that. He says, you know what, your kingdom is not going to continue. You did, in order to do what you thought was right, you did that which was wrong. I remember when we were in college, we heard this a lot. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. That's good. Watch this. The king and the people's praise. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. We're told, this is what you do. You believe God. Doesn't matter what you hear. It doesn't matter how you think God should do it. You trust God. You believe in him. Again, when we were together on Thursday, we recognized this. Our biggest problem, our biggest challenge is unbelief. It really is. All of us, myself included. There are times it's like there's that voice that's inside that says, you know, remember, yea hath God said, Lord, are you sure? This is what we're being taught here. Now, the king has said, look, you get together, you praise the Lord. Now, think of it. The king is telling them, the battle has not yet been won, but you need to sing like it's already been won. By the way, are we already on the winning side? Absolutely. We need to act like it. We need to sing like it. We need to do that. Now, this is not name it and claim it stuff. This is believe your God and praise Him stuff. You know, there's so many people out there that are following their master. They're lying their fool heads off. I love what somebody put on Facebook. You know, if pants really did catch on fire when people lied, watching the news would be a lot more fun. There are people out there that are seeking to destroy the land. Praise God anyway. Things aren't going like I really wanted them to go. Praise God anyway. Sing anyway. God told Jehoshaphat, you sing. That was his part. In other words, our view can be this. Victory first, sing later. God's view, sing first, victory later. Our view, Lord, show me your power first. God's view, believer, show me your faith first. So the people sing. And watch what happens when the people sing. Look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. They were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. God has a way of sending confusion to people. It happened several times. It happens here. It happened in Judges chapter 7. It happened in 1 Samuel 14. Listen, God just said, you sing. You praise. You praise me. And watch what I can do. Watch what I can do. And you love that. I think that's great. You know, singing does two things. It makes heaven glad. And it makes the wicked one mad. Makes heaven glad. Makes Satan mad. How would you like to make heaven glad and Satan mad? All right? What can we sing? What's a good song? How about Victory in Jesus? Let's sing it. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. I heard about of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Praise God!
He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing.
Now you stop and think about it.
You stop and think about it. Every time when God hears that, there's rejoicing. When Satan and his minions hear it,
they get behind the building and they start to curse, and they hate and they despise and they're angry, and they get people pointing at each other over here. I'm not sure what's going on. God's provision. Look at verse 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth. These people started killing each other. Israel just stood there and watched. Ooh, that was real. Wow, over there. Look at that. They're singing and they're pointing. I can't believe this. And the other people, they're dying. How sad. But you know, when you choose that, that's what's going to happen. Verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there, they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka, or Baraka, unto this day. Here's the principle that we learn. God's people win. God's people prosper. God's people are blessed. You do it God's way, this is exactly what's going to happen. The devil's crowd, they might think they're winning, but eventually they will reap what they have sown.
Right.
There might be coming a day when it's going to be tougher for people out there for us to worship. Maybe the government will decide that the church is not essential. Doesn't matter. We've got brothers and sisters around the world. They're meeting right now.
Right.
And God is blessing. So, just real quick. Won't take long. And I can give anybody these points. What did this passage teach us? Number one, the devil delights in bringing opposition to God's people. But the Lord delights in blessing. Number two, before any action on our part, seek God's face. Number three, remember God's work in the past. Remember what God has done for you in the past. His faithfulness to you and to people that you know. Somebody like this story I read from Brother Pelletier. Number four, stand on God's promises. He gave them for this very reason. Number five, let the Holy Spirit take that promise and burn it into your heart. Number six, never, ever put your confidence in the flesh. Number seven, praise and worship. Worship and praise. Repeat, repeat. Number eight, continue with number seven as you face number one. Number nine, watch God work. Number 10, watch God bless. Amen?
Amen.
The battle is God's.
Right. Amen.
In the future, I'm going to be needed. I'm going to have to be reminded of that so incredibly much. We're all going to. But what a joy to be able to get back in God's Word and remember, you know what? I remember 2 Chronicles 20. Boy. God sure taught us a lot when he dealt with Jehoshaphat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you have done for us. I thank you for the lessons that we see in your servant, Jehoshaphat, and the children of Judah. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize, Lord, you are God. There is purpose in all that you do, and there are promises that will guide us and encourage us and lift us as you do your purposes. I pray for our nation.
But Lord, I pray more for your burden, what it is that you would have for us today. If there is someone that you would have us speak to, if there is someone that you would have us encourage, give the gospel to, whoever it might be, Lord, I pray that you would use us. Your will be done. May Jesus Christ be lifted up this day and until we stand before you. We pray in Christ's name.